Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Oh my goodness, it's been so long. I don't even know how to get this show started, but I'm going to tell you how we're going to get it started. We're getting it started with the original. That's right, the original American kid, Mr. Justin Lawrence, bringing it live to you guys this morning. Hey guys, welcome back. It's Fist to Cup Radio. We're back at our new home and the only place you're ever going to find us, over at RootedIn.com. That's right, get over to RTDIN.com. Big things coming for me and Drew and the rest of the crew. I hope you guys are ready. But without further ado, why don't I go ahead and welcome back the first guest in a long time, man. It feels so right to start the show off right with a guy like this. Justin, what's going on, brother? Let's get a minute.
Hey, Justin, can you hear me?
Anton.
Justin, can you? Justin, can you hear me?
Anton.
Hey, what's up, brother? Can you hear me?
I hear you, but this is not Justin.
Oh, who do I got?
Who do you think, man?
Oh, it's Chucho. What up, Drew?
What's going on?
What's going on, brother? Still no Justin, man. We're just waiting on Justin. As soon as we get Justin, we'll be all ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, give him a couple minutes, man. No intro.
No worries.
Been off the air forever, and you don't come in with your intro? Come on.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think it's time to turn it.
You know what I mean? Obviously, for people who don't know, guys, check it out. We're back. It feels good as hell to be back on a microphone. It feels super amazing to be back in a sport that I love. And it was something that I was missing. I think Drew, you would agree that it was something you were missing as well, man. And I'm glad to bring back the radio show in a new aspect as well on a new site that's going to hopefully do big things not only for the community but for a lot of people we call friends and for a lot of fighters.
Right. No, you're right.
So,
I mean, we've been doing this for a long, long time, and to stay away as long as we did, it was a little frustrating because, you know, we both would always talk about, you know, just bring it back, and we're finally able to. And hopefully Justin calls, so our first show is just not you and I rambling on.
Hey, regardless, it doesn't matter because the first show is underway. It's officially started. You know, I always say every million-mile march starts with one step, you know what I mean? And it feels good to actually take that first step. The crazy part for me is I look back at where we were and where the situation was when we stopped doing this show, you know? And to look back a year ago at where the sport was, who the champs were, what was going on with Bellator MMA and where the UFC was, and now a year later, to look at how much different the landscape is. I mean, Ronda Rousey isn't even scheduled for a fight. She's not the champion anymore. Conor McGregor is fighting at 170 pounds and hasn't defended his belt in almost a year. You know what I mean? Like, the landscape. Brock Lesnar is back. Well, it was back, and now tested positive for PED. So, I mean, the sport is just so much different. And the thing that I'm most excited about, and people probably can already guess what I'm going to bring up, and that's Bellator MMA. I mean, when we left off with the show, I think I was one of the biggest backers for Bellator. Everybody knows I'm a huge Bellator fan. And now to see not only their stadium fighters, but where Conor Coker has taken me in the last year, and I think where he's going to continue to take things, just makes me excited as an MMA fan and as somebody who works inside of the sport, getting an opportunity to talk to this new stable of Bellator fighters.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, a year ago, things were completely different. Since you mentioned Bellator, I mean, I see really big things coming up for Bellator. Not just Bellator, but Bellator kickboxing. Scott's doing a great job, and I think he said originally when he took over, he had 3 to 5 years to implement his plan and make things the way do things the way he wanted. And I think we're coming up on 3 years now. And I have to say, man, Bellator is looking really good.
Well, hey, brother, why we speak about how good Bellator is looking, why don't we go ahead and welcome our guest, man? We got the American kid. I can finally give him his introduction. Finally, we get the American kid, man. I'm so excited. I'm so happy, guys, to welcome Justin Lawrence to the show. Justin, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? This morning, sorry.
Good. I was like, this night, wow, Justin, it's been a long one, huh?
Yeah, sorry, I just woke up. I just had my coffee. Sorry, I did an interview last night. My bad. How you guys doing, though? Good?
No, good, brother. It's been forever, man. I was telling Drew just now how excited I was to finally get an opportunity to talk to you again. It seems like it's been probably a year and a half, and I think a lot of things have changed, not only for us, but most importantly, for you, man. I mean, where you're at now and how the landscape for you and your career has changed. I'm excited to get an opportunity to talk to you about that today.
Yeah, man. You know, I just did a lot of hard work, a lot of hard training, you know, but it's just, I just feel like I just have scratched the surface of what I can do. You know, each fight I keep getting better, you know, but I'm always growing too. You know, I feel like I'm maturing more as a man as well. So I'm just excited to be on a great team and people behind me. You know, the sport, you got to surround yourself by the right people.
Absolutely, man. I think that's just life in general. You know, it's so funny because I look at life a lot of times and I compare it to mixed martial arts and people are like, you're crazy. And I'm like, not really, though, because to be the champ or to be successful in your life, you have to be willing to do things that other people are. To be successful in life and to be successful in MMA, you have to surround yourself with a good team. Even though it's an individual life and it's an individual sport, those people around you make a huge impact on the way that things turn out.
Yes, I agree, and it makes me want to work harder for people I respect. You know, if I have a coach that's good, I know that's going to have my back no matter what. I'm going to want to go in there and I'm going to work my butt off for him day in and day out. You know, my dad, you know, I don't want to lose in front of my dad. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to lose a fist fight in front of the dad? Nobody does. You know what I'm saying?
No one.
So, you know, my dad, you know, nobody. So that's my, you know, my dad's my head coach. You know, I got George Castor out here. That's kind of like my second dad out here. He really puts me to the grindstone hard, you know, and I want to work for him hard every day just simply because I respect him and he's a good person. You know, I got multiple coaches like that around here, you know, so it's just awesome for me to go in there and do what I love every day. I love it.
All right, brother. So you bring it up. I got to talk about it, I guess. So it's something that I talked to Drew about, too. I mean, so you left the Lions for a while. I mean, for anybody who's followed your career and for anybody who knows about your career and where you've been a staple over at Alliance Training Center for a long time down there in Chula Vista. And then you ended up leaving for a short amount of time. And it was something me and Drew were talking about before the show. You ended up leaving and going over to Powerhouse MMA. And, Justin, I mean, we're not best friends, but you've been on this show plenty of times, and I think that we've got a good enough relationship that I can say you looked a lot different in that fight than you have your whole entire career. I think that was a different Justin Lawrence than we've ever seen. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. I wanted to talk to you about not only the decision to make the move, but also the decision to go back to Alliance, because I think when we saw you in your last fight at Bellator 157, we saw the Justin Lawrence that we've all grown accustomed to seeing. I think we saw the kid that we've been waiting to see. We saw him back where we didn't see that guy at 145.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, I agree, you know, and, you know, I wanted to go back just simply because, you know, I went back just simply because, I remember telling my dad, you know, first the weather out here is amazing. No, but other than that, you know, I just, just the team, you know, having like a Dominic Cruz, having a Jeremy Stevens, having those kinds of guys under a roof that, you know, you can look over during a practice and see them suffering with you. You know what I'm saying? And you can see them trying to outwork you. It makes you want to work harder. You know, having those kinds of guys day in and day out in the gym, they'll push you to be better, you know. Alliance is a kind of gym where you either, you know, you either become a savage or you go home. You know, we spar hard, we drill hard, we train hard, you know. Being brought up in the gym my whole life, you know, that's how my dad ran his gym. You know, we fought hard, you know. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I only see them stick around for a couple days and they leave and they go up north, they go up to L.A., they find a different gym, you know. But, you know, the guys that stay, the guys that stick around, they end up winning. You know, they turn around, they end up coming and doing big things, you know. And when I switched gyms, I didn't feel that when I went out there. It was kind of cold. It was kind of dark. And it was a job for me to go into the gym, you know, and I didn't like that feeling. I hated that feeling. I never had that feeling before. And once I felt that feeling, I realized something was wrong and I needed to go back, you know, and I did, man. And I haven't looked back. And honestly, I am so ready. I'll fight anybody, any time right now with Alliance. That's how confident I am with those guys. I just know as long as I'm in shape, I'm hard to beat. You know what I'm saying? So, and they always get me in mad shape, and there's great training partners there to keep me sharp.
Dude, that's because George Castro is a monster, brother. Like,
yeah,
that's
for sure, man. He works me so hard. He does.
Well, and Justin, I want to talk to you about that because, like I said, at 157, we saw, or at least I saw, the guy that I've been watching since. I mean, I think the first time I ever interviewed you, brother, was when you were getting ready for the Ultimate Fighter finale. I mean, that was like 2012, I think, like four years ago or
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was
mean,
young
like,
cat.
Man, but that's the craziest part. I'm looking at the thing and I'm thinking, how do I write up, like, who you are? Like, do I put... like one of the best young up and coming talents in the sport, because I almost feel like that detracts from your resume.
Yeah.
Because I mean, dude, you fought in the UFC, you fought in Bellator. You might be only 9-3, but there's not very many 9-3 guys in it that have the experience and the record and the ring time that you do. You know, you're more like a 20-3 guy, a 15-3 guy, a 17-3 guy.
Yeah.
Like you've got too much experience for me to look at you and go, you're a 26-year-old kid. But that makes me happy because I look at it and say, you have a lot of potential still left, brother. You got so much room to grow.
Thank you, and I appreciate that because, man, it was hard, man. I mean, I got thrown in the sport. It exploded, man, and, I got very far just because of my skill set, just because I've done 1,000 more hours than everybody in the gym. That's why I got so far early. But I was super green, man, as far as the sport. I didn't know – I really didn't know how to pace myself for a five-minute round, you know what I'm saying? Or I didn't know how to, you know, stall when I needed to stall, you know, or go do what I needed to do, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I was used to an amateur three-minute round, you know? So it was a big change in my fighting style going to a five-minute round. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people just think we just get locked in this cage and we fight. But it's a deeper game than that. It's evolving more and more, and fighters are getting better and better. There's certain tactics that you got to do inside that cage to survive, you know? So I had to adapt a little bit, and you know, so I feel like I was still growing, man. I was in the UFC at 21 years old. That's so young, you know. I mean, like I was coming out of seventh hour. You know, I just graduated high school and you know, in the second year in college at the time. You know, I was so young, man. You know, but I don't regret any of those things, all any of those experiences, any of them, because man, it has turned me into the fighter I am today, and the person. You know, I only have, like you said, I'm only 93. I only have 12 fights, but it's been on every big banner. You know, it's been on Strikeforce, it's been the UFC, it's been Ultimate Fighter, it's been in Bellator. You know what I'm saying? It's been on every big banner. So, you know, I'm just ready to go out there and just give it hell for these next 5 years, because I feel like I'm hitting my prime, and I'm gonna be tough, man. You know, I've fought everywhere. You know, I've been at every level. So it's just more things under my coattail. I just love it, man.
That's it, man. And, you know, it's like me and Drew were also speaking before the show. I've always been a huge Bellator backer. I mean, even back when guys were like, the UFC is all be-all, end-all. Like, I've always loved Bellator. And for me now, it makes me excited to know that, like, guys like yourself don't have to be in the UFC to be considered one of the best. I think right now being a Bellator champ is equally as important as being a UFC champ. I mean, you look at a guy like Eddie Alvarez who would, you know, argued for a long time that he wasn't a top three in the world because he fought for Bellator and he wasn't fighting anybody. And now look,
right,
he comes to the UFC, drops one to Donald Cerrone, and mops the floor with everybody else. I mean,
right.
I don't know. It sounds like Bellator's got some contenders in my book, and it always has been, you know. So I just love to see the fact that you can go somewhere else other than the UFC, still be a huge star, still have an amazing amount of opportunity, And the way that Bellator's growing, dude, the possibilities are endless, I think, for all of you guys over there at Bellator.
Yeah, man, Scott Coker has done a really good job. You know, I fought for him when he had Strikeforce. He was a great guy then, really super nice. He really wants to put good fights on for the fans. And, you know, he's been doing this. He's been around the sport a while. You know, he's a mixed martial – or he's a martial artist himself, and he respects strikers. And luckily I'm a striker, and I'm pretty excited. So, you know, hopefully he keeps me around for a little bit longer. But, man, you're totally right as far as, you know, so happy and thankful that I can, you know, go out there and fight on TV, do what I love under another sanctioning body than the UFC. You know, I mean, Bellator is doing a great job there, man. I think some of these pickups they're getting as far as other fighters across the, you know, the country, they're starting to go international now. So it's definitely going to be growing. I feel like in the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to possibly be taking over. So, Viacom's no joke, man, you know, and they're paying. So, all those things sound really good to me. So yeah, Bellator's doing great, man. It's awesome.
That's it, man. And you know, like you said, Scott Coker is a martial artist. And not to take away from anything that the UFC's done, because without the UFC, I wouldn't be sitting here, and I'm sure you wouldn't be either. You know, I mean, the UFC is really what solidified
for
the sport.
Sure.
But now it's time to take it to a whole new level, you know. And that's the beauty of it, is I think now with the sale of the UFC and everything that's going on over there, it's going to really open up a lot of doors that were never going to be open until the sale of the UFC was complete.
Right. No, for sure, man. You're exactly right. Yeah, that sale is going to be huge, and I'm kind of curious to see what happens on the other side of that.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about your guys' stable of fighters over there inside of the Bellator MMA featherweight division, because the thing is, man, that's a shark tank over there, brother. A lot of people might say, I've never heard of Mark Dickens, or I don't know who A.J. McKee is, or, you know, oh, I know who Pat Curran is, and I know who Georgie is, and Daniel Strauss. I mean, there's a lot of names over there, but the thing is, there's not very many guys over there with more than 3 losses. I mean, there really is a sharp take over there in your division, brother.
No, definitely, man, and everyone's got to be respected, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, that's why like, I'm so focused, man, is because I know the mountain in front of me is very tall, so I got to climb that thing, and you know, I'm chucking it one by one, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, man, those records don't mean a whole lot at the level we're at. We're all one punch away, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, as long as I come in shape and I'm durable and I'm healthy, man, I'm going to be, like I said, hard to beat. But, man, all these guys in the top, you know, in the top six, top eight, man, are stiff, you know, and, you know, but that's going to be, you know, the sport's evolving, you know. You got to think about it. The sport's only 20, 25 years old. You know, it's pretty fairly young, man. So, you know, the sport's going to be evolving more and more and more. And, you know, you're going to be seeing more and more talent, you know, be thicker and thicker everywhere, you know, especially in a 155 division and 45, man, in Bellator. That's stacked. You know, either few of those divisions, 35 too, 35 stiff as well, but you know, especially 45 and 55, man, both of those divisions, you know, are stacked. You know, it's just like in high school, you know, 45 and 52 and 60 wrestling divisions were like the most stacked, because that was like the you know the average weight for the high school kid, you know. So it's I'm excited, man, because it's going to be make for some great fights, you know, and as a fight fan, that's awesome.
And that's just it. And the best part about it is, like you said, man, the sport is evolving so much. Me and Drew were talking a little bit before you called in as well about, you know, how much the sport's changed in just a year. You know, I mean, look, and it's like we were saying, Ronda Rousey used to be like the most dominant athlete in the sport, supposedly, and she was the end-all be-all for MMA, and now no one's even really talking about her. You know, we're waiting to hear when she comes back. She doesn't hold a belt. No one even's really talking about her, other than she could have been pregnant last week, which turned out to be a lie. So it's like Brock Lesnar came back and tested positive for steroids. Nobody that was a champ last year at this time is a champ this year. The sport has changed so much, but the talent
that's good point.
So much better. The talent, like, I look at guys like Antonio McKee's son, A.J. McKee. That kid isn't a wrestler. That kid isn't a boxer. That kid's a mixed martial artist. He's young.
Yep.
He's hungry. He's got an amazing camp behind him. I mean, Justin, you're 26, you're 9-3, and you have over 200 fights or something like that. If you include all of your golden gloves, like what 26-year-old kid has been in over 200 regulated fights? That's insane to think of. Like,
I just got to be in the nastiest shape possible because I have the experience, man. I just got to be in the greatest shape. George Castro, Lions MMA all day long. They give me the nastiest shape, and I'm ready for war, you know? It's getting me pumped, man. Woo! Sorry. Sorry to cut you off, man.
I love it. So let's talk about what's up next for you because coming off of a very impressive and dominating win, like I said, it was the Justin Lawrence that I've grown watching. You know, it's the Justin Lawrence that when I hear, hey, the American kid's coming on TV, I know I'm not leaving my seat until the fight's over. So what's next for you, man? Obviously, I don't know if there's anything set up, but there's a shark tank of dudes. Is there anybody that you would like to fight? Is there a couple of guys on the radar? What's next for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually just got a hold in touch with my manager this week to try to figure all that out, you know, to try to get some more details. But, man, I want that Sanchez fight back, man. You know, that was a split decision loss that I really thought I won. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you can't win one fight, the whole fight off of a kick or a punch, you know, especially if it doesn't drop you. You know, he kicked me, it kind of rocked me, I'm not going to lie, but it didn't drop me. So at the end of the day, what does that really mean? If it was a kickboxing match, it wouldn't have even been a standing eight count. So what does that really mean? You know what I'm saying? And I can go into the whole judging side of things. That's a whole other mess. But at the end of the day, you can't win a fight off of one punch or one kick. And I really felt like I won that fight, and I won it back more than anything. You know, so I'm really eyeing that one up. If I can get that, great. But if I don't, it doesn't matter who they put in front of me. I'm going to have to walk through whoever it is. So, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is my year. I feel like 2017 is my year, man. And, you know, I would like to get one in September. They were asking me for something maybe in, November, December back in St. Louis, which would be awesome. But, either way, I'm healthy and I'm ready to go, you know, so I would like to get a date so my mind's not going crazy too much.
I was just going to ask you because I can only imagine being healthy, coming back after having a loss like you did and having a win to back in right back to back. You know, I mean, you come off that loss and then you come back with an amazing performance. You're back with George. You're back in the Lions. You're healthy. You're ready to go. Is that like one of the hardest parts about being a fighter is knowing that you have to wait to go do your job until they decide it's time for you to do your job?
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, because, like, it's just, you know, it's just the way I am, you know. Like, I'm in the gym every day, but it's hard for me to get super disciplined if I don't got a name. Or, you know what I'm saying? If I got a name locked in, I know, you know, John Smith. You know, I know he is eating clean today, so I'm going to eat clean today. You know what I'm saying? Or I know John Smith, he got up and ran this 6 miles. Well, I better get up and run those six. So when I got a name in my head, it just makes it that much easier for me to go do whatever I have to do. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it is super hard part. But it's also kind of nice because you can kind of sit back and kind of watch everyone make their moves. You know what I'm saying? Or watch everyone fight or watch everyone, how everyone performs, you know, and you can always be training for that next guy, which is awesome. But at the end of the day, I'm the type of dude that wants to be active. You know, I feel like I just got the surface. I just scratched the surface of what I can do. And I was an only way to go out and show people my skill set and show people how hard I've worked my entire life. I got to get more opportunities. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and also, you can't drop opportunities. You got to make the best of every opportunity you get, especially in this fight game, because you never know when the next one's going to come.
Hey, that is the most truest thing that I've heard in a while when it comes to the fight game, and I'm always preaching that to the young guys. I'm like, look,
I've been in the sport. Sorry.
And that's just it. You know, you've been the 21-year-old kid inside of the UFC. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
That's a big responsibility. A lot of kids would have got so lost in that they might have ended
for
their
sure.
career. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. They end up getting into the party scene, the girls, the fast cars, the fast money, the drugs, and next thing you know, it's gone. And whether people realize that, that's a real part of the sport. Drugs, money, fast cars, fast women, and next thing you know, your career's gone. You went from a 9-1 prospect of he could be the next champion to nobody even remembers who the hell you are. You know?
Oh, yeah,
so,
for sure.
I always say, you know, it's great to hear guys like you give that information because you don't know. Bellator might call you today and say, hey, Justin, we've got the best opportunity you've ever heard. We're going to pay you $50,000. We need a late replacement in 2 weeks. Are you ready?
Yep, right.
You
right.
Say
exactly.
No,
I
might not
need
to call
I need to be able Exactly, man. And that's why you need to be able to make those moves. Go ahead.
And that's really what it comes down to is guys need to understand, I think, when they're young in this sport, that it's a full-time job. Like, yes, the money, the cars, the parties are all right there. But if you work hard and you avoid that stuff for the early stages of your career, you'll become a big enough name that when you're done fighting, that's when the real party starts. You know what I mean? Look at a guy like Chuck Liddell. Probably a bad example because he partied his whole career, I believe. But even now, though, you know, Chuck built a legacy because he put in those long hours. He did what was needed to become a superstar. He didn't become a superstar before he was a superstar, you know, if that makes sense.
And a lot of these guys, though, too, they, you know, I feel like they, you know, they want to fight, you know, every, you know, you for an amateur or not an amateur, a young pro coming up. You got to be fighting at least 5 to 6 times a year just to get this experience, you know, because at the end of the day, you don't have those 200 fights in the gym or your dad didn't own a gym. So you got to be fighting a lot, you know, and there's no time for partying when you're trying to do that because you got to be in the gym 24/7. And, you know, once you, like you said, build that household name, you build your name, you've had those big fights. Then you can fight once, 2, 3 times a year and have 6 to 8 month gaps in between your fights. But, you know, a lot of these guys, they're fighting for pennies. And so you need to be fighting all the time, you know, and plus you got to be building that record. You know what I'm saying? Getting that experience, getting them losses, because at the end of the day, the only way you learn from the sport is by losing. You know what I'm saying? You can't, I mean, you win. Yeah. But I won. You know, but once you lose that fight, you will go back and you will study that film and you will see you didn't have that head pressure, or you will see you didn't hit that combination when you should have hit it this or that, you know? So, you know, I feel like these young guys, man, they got to be fighting a lot. You know, they need to be fighting, you know, every month if they can, you know, until they can get that name established for sure.
Well, and to add to that, I guess, you know, would be if you're fighting 5 times a year, your body is already – you're breaking your body down so much. Even you guys that fight 3 times a year, those training camps, I don't know if
average
fan understands. Dude, it's terrible. It's like I always hear fighters say, I've never walked into a fight 100%. I mean, that's insane to say, I'm going to go step in front of another human being and try to knock this guy out, but I'm not even 100%. I wouldn't step on a basketball court for a intramural league game if I wasn't 100%. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't want to go out there and get embarrassed. But you guys have to do that because you have to brutalize your body so much in camp. So that's the thing. If you're fighting five times a year, there's no time for drinking, partying, staying up late. You need to be taking care of your body as much as you can.
Yeah, that's your tool, man. People don't understand that as well. You know, I mean, this is your body's your tool. You know, you are what you make of it. You know, so you got to go in there and sharpen that tool every morning. You know, every night. You know, to get into training. But people. Man, this for that fast life, like you said, it grabs a hold of people so quick they don't even understand, especially a lot of fighters, man. They typically come from broken homes, you know. They typically come from not the best backgrounds, you know, a lot of these guys, you know. So they once they start getting that money and they start getting those chicks, you know, it starts going by quick, man. And you just got to grab a hold of it, you know. I was, like I said, man, young, 21, into the UFC. You know, it went pretty quick, man, and I realized that. So this next opportunity that I have, I'm going to make the best of it. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, it's awesome, man.
There it is, man. Well, hey guys, check it out. If you're listening live, you're probably going to get cut off. We're running out of time on the live section, but I'm going to try to keep Justin on for another 15 minutes. You guys can always come back and listen to the downloadable episode. We're going to talk a couple more minutes if you've got it, Justin. I want to discuss a couple of things, like who you respect the most in your weight class. If you were being able to choose a super fight at 155, who it would be, and of course we have to talk this amazing haircut you've got. So tune into the rest of the episode, guys. It'll be available later this afternoon. But let's jump right back into things, Justin. That's one thing I wanted to talk about too. Is we talked about how deep the Shark Tank is at 145 inside of Bellator's featherweight division. Daniel Strauss is a good friend of mine, the featherweight champ. Obviously, you got to respect the champ, I think, and he's just one of those guys that I don't think anybody could really say too much bad about. He's a surreal class act from what I know of him throughout the years. But aside from the champ, who would be the two guys that Justin Lawrence respects the most and says, if I had to say two guys would be tough, these would be the two toughest guys in the division outside of the champ?
Ooh, man. I think everyone's tough. Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. Everyone is solid. I hate to say it, but Strauss is so – he's the toughest fight, period, at the division. I know he's a champion, but he's a different fighter. You know, he's an athlete. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about, people are a bit the sports evolving so much, you know. So, yeah, everyone knows their wrestling. Everybody knows their jiu-jitsu, and everybody knows their striking. It's who's in the best shape and who's the best athlete nowadays. That's the way I'm kind of looking at it. And Daniel Strauss, I think, is one of the best athletes in the division, if not the best athlete besides me at the division. So Strauss is the toughest matchup for me stylistically. I feel like. But with that being said, I feel like I respect Sanchez, man. I do. I respect that dude. I hit him pretty hard a couple times. You know, it buckled him, but it didn't drop him. A lot of people would have curled up, you know. So I respect that dude, but at the end of the day, I still want a piece of him. Bad, man. Really bad. I like Georgie. I like Georgie. I like stylistically. I like him. I respect his striking and his jiu-jitsu, you know. But, man, none of those guys, all those guys I could beat, you know. But at the end of the day, I feel like Strauss is the toughest stylistically matchup.
Whoo, giving me goosebumps, brother. I love it. I love hearing. There's nothing better to me than like another alpha male. I don't know if that makes sense. Like a lot of times, you see alpha male type dudes that don't want to hear other alpha males, or they want to be the biggest and baddest.
Yeah.
But I love a confident dude who's like, put me in a room with a bunch of monsters, bro. I'm the baddest monster in the room. Those guys are gonna hide under their own bed, like.
I'll adapt. I'll have to figure it out. It's not that hard. You just got to figure it out. You know, the game goes by so quick to these guys because they haven't been in there those thousands of hours. You know, once you've been in there that long, the game slows down. Everything slows down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to adapt. You got to figure it out. You know, jiu-jitsu, the choke's not that hard. You just got to figure what hand is controlling what and figure that hand out and get out of it. You know what I'm saying? You just got to figure out the root of the problem. And that goes for life, too. That's anything you do, you know?
Oh, man. Justin Lawrence, a.k.a. the young Robbie Lawler. There we go, folks.
Ah, I love it.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, though, because, like, I over the years, I don't really listen to what somebody's saying. I listen to really, like, what the underlying part of it is. And man, you just got it. You've always had it together. And I accredit your father for that, man. Big, 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 big shout-out to Mr. Lawrence for that, because he's, I think, the what started all this. You know, he molded you as a child into what you are now. And I think he knew what he was doing. He had to have, because things like this don't happen by accident, man. And for 26, I wish I was as put together as you were at 21, man, when I was 30, you know, and now I'm 33 here in a few days. And I just look at it and go, at 26, I would have a conversation with you about anything, anytime, Justin, because you're on that level where most 26-year-olds don't even have a clue, bro. They don't have a clue.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And you're exactly right, man. My dad did a great job of just having great mentors in my life. You know, I was always, like I said, man, I explained at the beginning of this segment here, man, you know, you gotta surround yourself by great people, by good people. You know, my dad has just always done that for me. And I look back and I just see the certain people he put in my life, you know. And but, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's just, you know, I just feel like, you know, I remember being on the Ultimate Fighter and being riding in those stupid vans all the way to the gym or whatever from the house. And Sam Cecilia looked over at me and he's like, man, they called me Youngblood on the show because I was just young and I was putting the hurtings on people a lot, you know, I was busting people's nose open and stuff. So they called me Youngblood. And he looked over, Sam Cecilia looked over me in the van and was like, hey, Youngblood, you know what I was doing at 21? I said, you know, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I was getting drunk and getting hammered and partying my ass off. He's like, no, you're doing, you're on a reality TV show, bro. That's awesome. But I didn't really think of it then when he told me that. But now that I look back at it, I'm like, that was just all an experience. And I grew up like 5 to 10 years, you know, it's like going to jail for the first time. You know, you come back out like you grew, you know, you were in your mid-30s, you know, you're like, oh man, I'm never going back there again. You know, so it was awesome.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of it. I love watching, I guess, human progression or individual progression. Like, I love watching an individual grow and become a better person than what they were the last time. You know, and that's the beauty of it is I keep bringing this up, Justin, but you're only freaking 26, man. I look at it and go, 26 years old. And I've been talking to you for 4 years. So since you were about 22, 23, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
But I look at it and
right.
How much more different, how much more evolved and grown as a human are you going to be when you're my age, bro? And then I look at it and go, what's Justin Lawrence going to be doing when he's Drew's age? I mean, Drew's like 65 years old. Just kidding. Sorry, Drew.
Hopefully my body's not too banged up. Go ahead, sorry.
But I mean, I just look at it and think, man, where are we all going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Like, what kind of conversations are we going to have and stories are we going to have? And it's just beautiful to know that your story isn't going to be one of, oh, man, at 26, I fucked up and I ruined my career. It's going to be, at 26, man, I was working towards a Bellator title. At 27, I was the champ of Bellator.
Champion.
And at 28,
exactly.
I was one of the best in the world. You know what I mean? I just can't wait to hear the rest of this story. That's the best part.
Thank you so much, and that just gave me goosebumps. So, yeah, man, that's exactly, you know, I really feel like I was put on this planet to fight, man. And, you know, I've done this my whole life. I sacrificed a lot. I want to say sacrifice because if you love something, you don't have to sacrifice for it. But I definitely I gave up a lot to do this. And, damn it, I want to be the best at it. You know what I'm saying? I want to be the best 45er out there. You know what I'm saying? And I go into that gym every day because I get to compete with myself. I get to challenge myself every day. And that's the greatest thing, you know? No one's getting takedowns on me today. That's a challenge to myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, or I'm going to be there 5 to 10 minutes early. It's a challenge to myself, man. And I just love it, dude. It's awesome.
Oh, it's beautiful. All right, man. So, Justin, I know you've got a busy morning. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I told Drew because, man, it's like what Jose Aldo said he had spies in Frankie Edgar's camp. Well, I hope all you guys know I got spies everywhere, bro. I know exactly what's going on at all times.
Right.
I want to talk about this haircut because I heard you have an amazing haircut going on right now.
Oh, dude, it's pretty rad, man. I got a mullet going.
Dude, let's talk about this.
It's American kid style.
As soon as Drew told me this, Drew said, "Hey man, I don't know if you know." He's like, "You got to bring up Justin Terry. Like Justin's rocking a mullet right now." And I literally, as soon as he said that, the first thing that popped in my head was American kid to the freaking fullest. Like,
how awesome is that? You should. I got a picture. My mom grew my hair out when I was like 4 years old, and it was all the way down to my butt, and I was like, I literally looked like Joe Dirt. So I saw that picture right before my last fight, and my dude, I had long hair. My dude, I'm cutting it. I'm bringing it back. So it's gonna be down to the shoulders here soon. So we're about to see what it looks like. Hopefully, the next fight. So
you're keeping it till next fight for sure. Like we're gonna see next fight for you rocking the.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be full. Yeah, I'm not even gonna cut. I'm gonna fade to the sides, but I'm not gonna cut the the party in the back. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
I'll
keep the
business
in the front and the party in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. You're going to be rocking the ape drape, bro. That's
heck yeah,
man.
Awesome.
It's
nasty.
This is why God never allowed me to be a professional athlete, because I would be on one like you guys to the fullest, man. It would be like Mohawk mixed in with like the mullet, mixed in with the step up sideburns. You know what I mean? Crazy shit.
Yeah, American kid, you know. So I just wanted to let everyone know, tune in to the next fight, because the cut's going to be nasty. The haircut's going to be
awesome.
On point.
This is awesome, man. I can't wait. So, Justin, from everybody over here at RootedIn.com, as well as Fisticuff Radio, always, man, thank you so much. You've always been really, really good to us. I always enjoy the time, and you've always been a great interview. That's the one thing I tell people, like, we don't bring people back on this show that suck. There's no reason for it. You know, you could be George St. Pierre. If you're a terrible interview, I don't want you back. You could be nobody who's 0-3, but you're the best interview ever. We're bringing you back. So I'm happy to know
for sure,
that
man.
We have
I appreciate
amazing
it.
Guys. No doubt, man. And I'm just happy to know that we have talent like yourself, because, like I said, bro, no doubt about it. Bellator champ, I see it on the horizon. And it's just going to be cool to say, like, we've always had that time, and we've watched you grow and been there for the whole entire process, man. So I can't wait.
Since the beginning.
I'm excited to watch it.
For sure.
Exactly, brother. Well, I'm going to give you the microphone for a minute, Justin. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let you give it plug out to anybody. I know you want to probably plug Pops and the gym, George Castro, anybody you want, man. The microphone's yours.
Awesome, man. Hey, I'll say thank you to you guys. I appreciate it. You guys get me out there, get my name out there too. So you guys are awesome to talk to. I just want to thank my dad, Benny Boyles, and 21st Century American Martial Arts back home in Pacific, Missouri. Alliance MMA, San Diego, California, Chula Vista, George Castro, Eric Del Fierro. Big shout out to Coach G, though. Coach G always pushes me super hard. Brings the best out in me day in and day out. Bad Boy Brands, Crossbeat Hosters, you guys, without you guys gearing me up and taking care of me, I wouldn't be where I'm at either. So with that being said, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to see you guys again.
Hey, no doubt, Justin. Next time I'm down in San Diego, be prepared to have a microphone stuffed in your face again. And just know, as soon as we hear about a fight confirmation, we're going to be in touch to have you back on the show as well, man. It's always a good catch.
Hell
up.
Yeah, hit me
and,
up, man.
Again,
I'm only awesome, dude. I'm a phone call away, man.
I love it, brother. Well, hey, we'll be in touch, and guaranteed when that fight card's confirmed, we'll have a day for you to be back on the show. I know everybody can also follow you on Twitter at AmericanKid2DsMMA. So it's AmericanKidMMA with 2Ds on kid, fellas. So check it out, guys. Follow Justin. Justin, again, thank you so much, man. We're always blessed to have you on the show. Hope you have a great rest of your Friday, man, and have a safe weekend.
Okay, you too, brother. Thank you, man. Later.
Thanks, brother. All right, guys, that was the American kid, Justin Lawrence. Hey, like I told you, we're back. There's no stopping. The train has left the freaking station. If you ain't on board now, it's going to be too late, man. You better run down them tracks and jump on the back of the caboose, because we're not stopping. There's no brakes on this train. It's a crazy train. And mama, I'm coming home. So, hey, guys, we'll be back. Hey, listen, we don't know. You never know. No one knows when Fisticuff Radio on RootedIn.com is going to pop up. But the best part is you can listen to it all day long, each and every day, on replay. So go ahead and hit that play button, folks. Enjoy it. Thank you to everybody who makes this show possible. I couldn't do it without Doc Drew. Hey, I also heard we might be having another white boy on the show, a.k.a. Denny Hot, the mad one, might be back. So check it out. We'll be back soon. Thank you. Have a great day, guys.